For 50 years, the linguistics journal American Speech has been running a column called Among the New Words, about words that enter our language. These columns have now been collected in a new book called 50 Years Among the New Words. Linguist Jeff Nunberg has this review.
The New Words column first appeared in American Speech in April of 1941. I was interested to see that its first editor was Dwight Bollinger, who went on to become one of the most eminent American linguists of this century. As you might expect, a lot of the words in that column reflected the political turmoil of the times, appeasement and blitz, brass hat and fellow traveler. But clearly Americans had other things on their mind as well. The early 40s saw the first printed appearance of the words car hop, g-string, burp, and fuddy-duddy. It's odd to see burp and fuddy-duddy here. They're the kind of words I think of as always having been part of the language, and seeing them offered up as newcomers is sort of like spotting Audrey Hepburn as the cigarette girl in the last scene of the Lavender Hill Mob. It gives the columns a charm that wasn't there when they first appeared. Mostly, though, 50 Years Among the New Words is a whirlwind tour of recent American history. Lucite was new in 1939, along with soap opera, Call Girl, and Snazzy. 1943 gave us Bazooka, Bobby Soxer, Carpool, Cheesecake, Radar, and Swing Shift. 1951, McCarthyism, Disposable Income, Mambo, and Zip Gun. 1964, Bossa Nova and Discotheque, Sit-In, Sex Kitten, and Spacewalk. 1975, Gas Guzzler, Microwave Oven, String Bikini, Pet Rock. 1986, Cocooning, Spin Doctor, Ozone Hole, Personal Organizer. Of course, most new words disappear before they can make it into the language. They're like new life forms thrown up on the beach by the sea. A few manage to grow legs and crawl up onto the land. The rest are swept away with the next tide. The 1951 word basscart never caught on as a synonym for shopping cart, nor did later words like neatnik, monokini, beefalo, or skippy, which was a short-lived 1987 acronym for school-aged kids with income and purchasing power. But here's a curious thing. You'd think that the words from the earlier columns would be more likely to have dropped out by now. But in fact, it's almost the opposite. Of the 33 words that Dwight Bollinger recorded in that first column in 1941, only a half dozen or so are no longer in use. But after that, the attrition rate keeps increasing, and it's actually highest for the words in the last columns in the book, which recorded words from the late 80s. When did you last hear dweeb or boy toy? What are the odds for continued survival of the expressions 30-something, molly, or fusion in a jar? Of course, it could be that the editors of American Speech simply don't have their ears to the right patches of ground anymore. But I suspect that aside from technological terms, the infant mortality rate for new words really is getting higher. This may be partly because of the accelerating pace of events and the attenuated American attention span. The mambo was around for a decade. The lambada was here and gone in a weekend. Then, too, except for Walter Winchell, the press didn't use to invent its own words. Whereas now you can't pick up a newspaper or turn on the TV without running into a journalistic creation like confrotainment or shock jock or execu-crime. I think of these as pet rock words. They're useless novelties that nobody expects to be picked up for a second season. Incidentally, the phrase pet rock word is itself a good example of a pet rock word, and if any contributors to the New Words column of American Speech happen to be listening, I hope they'll give this one a miss.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist associated with Stanford University and the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California. He reviewed 50 Years Among the New Words, published by the Cambridge University Press.